Hello everyone, welcome to our service here at Shotgate Baptist Church. And today is the 19th of July 2020, and we continue to conduct our services remotely in line with the current social distancing protocols in place across the country. As regarding preparations for us to resume having services back at the church building, a letter was sent out earlier this week. I hope we have all received it, whether by post or by email, updating everyone where we are with that. As we said in that letter, plans are that all going well, we could resume back at the church on Sunday, the 6th of September. That is the date that we're working towards, all going well. But under the circumstances, of course, we keep that in review. As we discussed in that letter, there are a lot of things that we will need to put in place before getting back into the building for services, which we are working on, and we hope to be able to put everything in place on time. We were talking in a meeting a few days ago with other ministers around Essex, and I think our plans here at Shotgate Baptist Church, if all goes well and we start back in the church on the 6th of September, we'll probably be among some of the first churches to do so, as most churches will be looking to resume at around the same time or sometime later than that. Everyone is trying to balance caution and putting in place what needs to be put in place to ensure safety and compliance on one hand, and the need for church to come together and worship together, which we all miss and we all are looking forward to on the other hand. And so as we continue with all the work and preparations around this, let's do so prayerfully and trusting God for wisdom and guidance in all this. And all the kingdom is His after all. The power is His and the glory is His. And meanwhile, we will continue to conduct our services remotely in this way. And that being so, shall we gather our thoughts and calm our hearts as we begin today's service in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, as we bow our heads and our knees before you, we are thankful for your mercies that you have shown us and demonstrated to us each and every day. We are aware, Lord, that every day that we live, and indeed every breath that we take, is all because of your grace. And we owe you praise and thanks for it. And so we give you the praise and we give you the thanks that's due to you. We give you praise together as a church and we give you praise as individuals. We ask you for grace and guidance in these days that lie ahead for us as a church and indeed as a society, that your Spirit moves hearts and minds in the direction that you want them to move, and that you will convict many by your Spirit and draw them to your light. May this service today be a vehicle of your blessing to everyone who participates in it. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for our music today, Helen is leading us in several hymns, and I invite us to sing along and worship God together through these songs. The first song is Great is Thy Faithfulness, followed by Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. And over to you, Helen. Thank you. Thank you, Helen, for leading us beautifully in those songs. God bless you. And I'm sure everyone joined in and sang along and worshipped God together. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. And Pam is going to give us that reading. Over to you, Pam.
Hi everyone. This morning's reading is from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Amen. Thank you, Pam, for the reading. Now, last week we concluded the series of reflections that we were doing for the past weeks on the book of Psalms. It was really a blessing as we picked out a few Psalms over those weeks and reflected on them and sought to see how those passages would apply to our lives today. This week we are starting on a new series of reflections. And this time we're focusing on prayer, which we will call Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. The Bible records so many wonderful and amazing things that Jesus did and said as he taught and walked in his earthly ministry.
including performing jaw-dropping miracles and amazing teachings that had not been heard before. His disciples witnessed these as they were present with him most of the times. Scripture says that there were many more things that he did, which are not recorded, and no doubt his disciples would have been present to witness those as well, or at least they would have known about them. Scripture also records several occasions when Jesus prayed or when he was in prayer, either alone or in the company of his disciples and others. In fact, we find Jesus praying in the wilderness as he fasted just at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And we also find him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was arrested. And he even prayed on the cross at the conclusion of his ministry on earth. And so prayer was something significant and prominent in his life and in his work and in his ministry. His disciples, having witnessed all the wonderful and amazing things that Jesus did and that he taught, Scripture records them requesting him to teach them only one thing, to teach them to pray. It's as if the disciples probably had their priority of requests or their shopping list, so to speak, of things they wished to ask Jesus to teach them. And they wiggled it all down to one single most important request, which they then made to Jesus, where they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so, if prayer was clearly that important to Jesus and to his disciples, there is no doubt that it is that important to us today as well. It's something we need to give some attention to as believers. And so for the next few weeks, we are going to be reflecting on the pattern of prayer that Jesus gave in response to this request from his disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We will not claim to or even attempt to cover a full exposition of this prayer pattern, which would be impossible because the richness and the depth of it are just inexhaustible. But just as we did with the Psalms, we're going to pick up on some of the themes that this pattern of prayer brings up, that the Lord's Prayer brings up, and we will reflect and share on these and trust to build one another with these. Jesus taught this pattern of prayer on at least two different occasions. One is recorded in Luke chapter 11, where he had just finished praying and the disciples came to him and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And also here in our passage that we are reading today, Matthew chapter 6, where it's in the middle of this long teaching, this long sermon that Jesus gave, which starts in chapter 5. Chapter 5 begins by Jesus going up a mountainside and beginning to teach the Beatitudes, beginning from the Beatitudes. And that teaching spans the whole of chapter 5, chapter 6, and right to the end of chapter 7. And then chapter 8 begins by Jesus coming down that mountain. So he had been on that mountainside and teaching through those three chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And so here in Matthew, Jesus gave this prayer pattern as part of a wide-ranging teaching. The prayer itself starts from verses 9 to 13. But before giving the prayer itself, Jesus talks about prayer in general. He starts in verse 5 by saying, "And when you pray," he does not say "if you pray," but he says "when you pray." It's not "if you pray," as though there was an option of saying, "Well, you may or may not pray, but if you do pray." But rather, Jesus makes it a definitive that they will pray. Jesus expected his listeners, his disciples, the crowds in general, to pray.
And that expectation has not changed. You see, God both commands us to pray, and he also invites us to pray. God wants us to pray, and we in turn actually want to pray. And so in our walk of faith, it is important that we incorporate prayer in our walk. As we will be reflecting over the coming weeks, this proposition needs not be something we feel anxious about, or probably be feeling like we are not good enough, or we are not able, or we don't know how to pray. Because there are no experts, or there is no definitive formulas to prayer. As we can see from the very first words in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven," which sets the tone and the tenor of the whole prayer experience, that we are talking to our Father. And some translations say, "Daddy," or "Our Daddy." And so there is something of feeling at home with prayer, where we talk to God as our Father that we relate with, that we relate to. In that first portion of the passage, in verses 5 to 8, the teaching is about the attitude and the posture of prayer. Jesus basically says that when we pray, we need to take out all the publicity and all the PR, as it were, as it's not necessary. Because there were some who would recite long-winded and complicated prayers in a way to be seen and to be noticed and to be considered to look pious and more holy and more godly than the rest. And they would do so in synagogues or even in the street corners, really wanting to be noticed and to be given some adulations, or to show themselves as being better than others. These would also be mocking other people's prayer, so to speak, and say, you know, in their judgment, that prayer was good in this area, or that prayer wasn't good in this area. And so they would place themselves in that position where they would be judging other people's prayer. Some people would end up being shy or somewhat afraid and embarrassed to pray, as they would be conscious of the possible criticisms of their prayers. But Jesus says that is not the attitude and posture towards prayer. He says when you pray, go into the closet of your heart and pray from your heart, and God will hear your prayers. He says prayer ought to be born out of a relationship of God being our Father. Between verses 6 and 8, Jesus uses the expression "your Father," referring to God as "your Father," at least three times, which underlines that father-son relationship, that father-daughter relationship with God that we have, which forms the foundation of our prayer. One of the key things to bridge that feeling of not knowing how to pray or feeling anxious around the idea of praying is this phrase, "our Father." Remembering that God is your Father who is on your side and is inviting you to this conversation and to this communion with him, to this communion of prayer. This is also carried in the first line of the prayer itself, in verse 9, which begins, "Our Father in heaven." A reminder again that this is a conversation with our Father. I'm reminded of a song which would put it in a metaphorical phrase that used to go something like, "When you get to your prayer closet, you will realize that God has been there waiting for you all along." That gives a sense of our Heavenly Father's attitude towards our prayer, that he invites us to pray and he waits for us to pray, and he never tires to hear our prayers, whether we utter those prayers out in one word or in 10 words, or we pray in our hearts quietly, God hears and he listens to our prayers. The Lord's Prayer is one of the most well-known prayers and is prayed all over the world in many different places and in many different languages even. I remember when schools used to have prayers and the Lord's Prayer would be memorized and recited at assembly or in class. And so as Christians, this is one of our most prayed prayers. And I'm one of those people who loves reciting the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes when you're not too sure how to pray or what to pray for or what to say, a place where we all get to sometimes, this is often a helpful prayer to pray. In one sense, this was one part of Jesus' intention with this prayer, that it be prayed as a prayer itself in these words. But in another sense, he meant for this to be a pattern to be followed in prayer, not necessarily in the exact same words, but rather in a similar style or form or in that pattern, where he was not necessarily saying, these are the words you should pray, repeat after me, kind of pattern. But rather was saying, when you pray, this is the kind of conversation you are to have with God, the kind of conversation you are to have with your Father who is in heaven. And over the years, Christian tradition has adopted both approaches, which are quite useful. In some occasions, reciting the Lord's Prayer as a prayer itself, and in other occasions, using it as an example and as a pattern of how to pray, and learning from it to inform our prayers. And with that, praying from the closet of our hearts and remembering that this is a conversation with our Heavenly Father. It helps us to come into that place of prayer. Amen. Amen. And our closing hymn today, Helen will lead us in When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And over to you, Helen. Amen. Thank you, Helen, for leading us in the songs and the hymns today. And what better a way of closing today's service than for us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray together the traditional Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And thank you so much for joining in this service. And this marks the end of our service today. May God bless you in every way. And do remember to keep safe, keep in touch, and keep the faith. God bless you.